Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. First thing I was going to say when I came up is all of these things that physically happening is not normal to this body. It's not normal. But God says we already have the victory. Amen. We already have the victory. This morning, you know how you pick a title, and I was wondering, I said, now I know the praise team is not going to sing this one. If they do, I said, Lord, you got to be kidding me. But they didn't sing it. But they sung songs that represented it. Today I'm going to be speaking on God's amazing grace. Amen. Even saved, we don't realize how amazing God's grace really is. Scripture going to be coming from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. 1 through 9. I have one question before I start I'm going to ask you. How would you feel if, man, you know, it's empty in here, voices echoing through this place. How would you feel about someone who had the capacity, who came to you and told you, he says, give me all your debt. I'm going to pay every bill that you have. How would that make you feel? Exactly. What if that same person came to you? He says, at the same thing, he'll tell you, he said, even though I'm going to pay off all your debt, the debt that you incur from this point on, I'm going to pay it. Even debt that you haven't made yet, I'm going to pay it. How would that make you feel? Extremely excited. I'm excited just thinking about it. Because that would be a gift worth gratitude. They would have delivered you from payment after payment after payment after payment with the interest incurred. What that person did has satisfied you financially. The same thing that that person did, God's grace has offered spiritually. Amen. I'm talking about amazing grace here. God's goodness, giving us what we do not could not earn, do not deserve, and would never be able to repay. It is what we call unmerited favor. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, now listen to this closely. Paul is writing to Christians. Matter of fact, the whole book of Ephesians is writing to Christians. He's writing to believers in the whole book, really. This passage is really generally read and is referred to non-Christians, and it does. But the primary audience are Christians. Paul understood the necessity for Christians to understand what it means to be saved by grace, even though they are already saved. There was something about grace that even believers needed to know in order to get a greater grasp on the magnificent terms of the new covenant that now defines our relationship with God. So the first thing he wants to explain is in verse 1, Ephesians 1, he says, this is the need, this is why we need grace. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And the reason that grace is needed is because of the presence of spiritual death. You were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. The Bible speaks of sin in three categories. Number one, there is this thing against God that penalizes the whole human race. That's the call. We can call that the original sin. That's where Adam sinned and rebelled, when he rebelled against God. Second is there is an inherited sin. That is the sin you got from your papa, your mama, your daddy, everybody, somebody, your mama and papa, they passed that thing down to you. And we pass it on down to our children. And it continues to go down. That's the inherited sin. You don't have to teach your child when they're young to lie. You don't have to teach them to be selfish. They already know that. That's what was passed down. We teach them to tell the truth. And we teach them not to be selfish. And then we have the third one. That's your personal sin. These are the things you choose to do that are wrong. There are the actions we choose to take that are the opposite will of God, the word of God. Ephesians 2:1 says that all men are dead in trespasses and in sins. The word dead in the Bible means separation from God. To be dead is to be separated spiritually from God. God told Adam, the day you eat of it, you shall die. He said, surely die. Yeah. Adam didn't physically peel over and dead. Died. He didn't just did when God said it like that. Matter of fact, Adam lived almost, this guy Methuselah was 900 and some years old, 62 years or something like that. Adam lived to be over 900 years old. But he died spiritually, and because he was removed from the presence of the Lord. So when the Bible talks about spiritual death spiritually, it means separation. The Bible declares that all men are spiritually dead while walking. He says in verse 2, in which you formerly walked. So if you can remember, this thing came up, this documentary came up, how people were getting armies to fight against the, what do you call these people, zombies. It's like that. You're walking around, you look alive, but you're spiritually dead. They're moving about, the life of God has been totally removed from them. And that's what the Bible means by dead. Paul wants you and I to understand our condition without God, so that when you hear grace, it'll shine much brighter. Because most folks don't know they're dead, how dead they are, especially if they have the ability to camouflage themselves. But you are dead, he says, in your trespasses and in your sins. Even though you feel alive and look alive, the Bible declares whoever you are, wherever you are, men are spiritually separated, who are spiritually separated from God, the Bible calls them dead. That's a spiritual death. Just as we have people who have different levels of debt, everybody don't owe the same amount. So it is with the Holy God. We have different levels of visible levels of death. The example that he gave is on the Titanic. If you were on the Titanic, and if you were irrelevant, or whether you are upper class, that's upstairs, or lower class, underneath, you were on a death vessel. And the proof that all men are dead before God is that all men are dead, die. The wages of sin is death. I didn't say this part, but the gift of God is eternal life. I'm going to get life. I'm going to get to that a little bit later. I just want to magnify how important grace is, even when you're saved. So he says, we were all in our trespasses and in our sins. Now, why is that so? Because of the perfect standard of God. God cannot reduce his standard just because he likes you. God's standard is one of a kind, and that's perfection. He can't lower his standards. That is against his nature. For God to lower his standards of perfection would mean he is no longer himself. And since he cannot be reduced, It is the standard by which he measures everyone, which is why the Bible says all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. Because the standard is perfection. How many here are perfect? Do you know anybody human that's perfect? Not like God. God's perfection. The Bible says all men are dead in their trespasses and their sin. They're separated from God. So that's the big problem. That is why we need grace. So let's take a look at the provisions of grace. Verse 4, Ephesians 2 says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive. Amen. Together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen. Verse 6, and raised us, verse 6 is very important, and raised us up with him. And seated us with him. Amen. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let me read that verse again. And raised, by grace we were saved. Verse 6 says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember that Paul is writing to Christians, saved people, who needed to be reminded, who needed a refresher course on grace. Now let's understand something. God cannot reduce his standard, but what God can do is accept a sacrifice that meets his standard. So because of God's love and mercy, love and mercy is joined together, freeing him up to express grace so that God could show his righteousness, be true to his justice, while being able to simultaneously provide mercy because of his love, therefore offering us his grace. God came up with a way to solve our spiritual indebtedness. In Romans, I didn't give her this scripture, but in Romans 5 and 8, it says, for God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us while we were yet sinners. So here is what the cross, that's what the cross is all about. It is about substitution. It is about God providing somebody who will pay a price that we owed. Born of a virgin, living a perfect life, dying a substitutionary death in the place of men. God looked at the payment of Christ on the cross as fully satisfying the demands of a holy God. This is why when Jesus was concluding his life on earth and was ready to offer up his spirit, his final words were, it is finished. That means paid in full. That means your debt, my debt, that we couldn't pay, he paid it for us. All that a holy God demanded from a sinful world was picked up, the tab was picked up of Jesus' death on the cross. So 1 John 2 and 2 says, he not only died for our sins, but he was the satisfaction to a holy God for the sins of the whole world. God was satisfied with death of Christ, that he satisfied God for every man, every boy, every woman, every girl who was ever born, and guess what? And ever will be born. God is good. Grace is good. Grace is important. And the way we knew that God was satisfied by the death of Christ is the tomb was empty. Remember that Sunday morning? It was empty. When the stone was rolled away, it was empty. That was God's receipt about being paid in full. The separation between sinful man and God is so great that only God could build a bridge big enough to cross it. He died that through the sacrifice of Christ. John 3:16, we all know this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God offers dead life, dead people life. And he offered it by grace. But remember, he is writing to saved people. He is writing to Christians. So look at what else he says. That you were made alive together with Christ, and you were raised with him and seated with him, made alive, you were raised, and you were seated. That's, so something else took place once you got saved. Once you got saved, you are not only saved to go to heaven one day, you were saved to go to heaven right now. He saved you. He says you were raised with him, you were seated with him, you were made alive with him, together with him, you were seated in heaven. If you're waiting to go to heaven, you're taking too long. What the scripture is saying, the sacrifice of Christ was so successful, you can piggyback on it. That's Robin's word, piggyback. You can piggyback on it. And when you piggyback on it, you get relocated with him. Amen. Remember, he is talking to saved people. He is saying you're in a relocation program because you were raised with him and seated with him. Well, where is he? In heavenly places. Amen. Now, what does that mean? That means the spiritual realm. So Jesus, right now, when he rose from the dead, he ascended up to heaven. He was seated at the right hand, at right side of the Father, and so operating in the spirit, we're operating in the spiritual realm. He was operating in the spiritual realm. We are where he is. We're seated right now in the spiritual realm with him. He says, once you were converted, you're supposed to be hanging out with me where I am because you were raised with me. One of the reasons we don't experience more of the grace that God has given us is we refuse our new location. There is a song we used to sing in the Baptist church. It says, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. You know, that song really made sense, even though I didn't understand it at the time they were singing it. We want to operate in the physical, even though we're supposed to be hooked up in the spiritual. And therefore, we keep grace away. Not because it's not there, but because it's not being utilized. Now, he's going to lay it on us, lay it on the line right now. In verse 7, he says, so that in the ages to come, he may show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, this grace thing is huge, it's big, it's large, because it is forever. And it just keep on rolling. It just keep going, keep going, keep going. Grace don't run out, it's forever. Now, he is going to give us something you really want to grab onto. In verse 8, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9, not as a result of works, so that no man can boast. By grace you were saved. These are people who are already saved, he's talking about. He makes a big point about that. But he was to remind them, by grace you were saved, not according to works. Grace can't be earned. You can't work for grace. You can't pay for grace. You can't buy grace, because it is a gift of God. In Romans 4, verses 4 through 5. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. Verse 5, but to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. One of the reasons that we do not experience more of God is that we try to work for something that God has already given us. He said it's free. So when God sees me and he puts my bad on one side and my good on the other, and so God sees me and he puts bad on one side, good on the other. I think my good is going to outweigh my bad, me looking naturally at it, all that good stuff I did for God. I think, now look at that, I want that bad a child. But all this good, man, I'm like that. Good is hanging in there. I think the good is going to keep me in heaven. The only problem with that is, Jesus says, thou shalt not commit murder. Now, I said, I'm weighing my gift, my good, and I didn't commit no murder. He says, that's what the law says. But remember the Ten Commandments? It truly states that. But then Jesus says, but I say unto you, you looked at a person and wished they were dead. You have committed murder in your heart. Nobody here like that, is there? So I'm going to ask before I have to run for cover, how many murders do we have in here? Jesus said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah, that's in the Ten Commandments, remember? But I say unto you, he that looks at a woman turns and looks and again, and looks again, has already committed adultery in his heart. You young men have to be careful how your eyes roll. Now, I know we don't have any adulterers in here, so I don't even have to ask that question. Because God's standard is not only what you do, it is what you wish you could have done. Because it's his standards are rooted in the heart. And that's why Ms. Archer, for a long time, she said, it's a heart thing. It's anything you root in your heart, that's what God looks at. Not just your actions. So even people who say, I keep the Ten Commandments, I've heard people who say that, I keep the Ten Commandments, just broke another one, thou shalt not lie. So you can never earn it because you never knew if you did enough to get it. Because you never knew if you did enough to get it. He says, it's not by works, but there are things God wants us to do, but not to get grace. Because grace is a gift. Grace is free. If you try to work for grace, you have just canceled out what you work for, because he only gives grace away. It is always free. He wants grace to become so big and so exciting. Every time you hear the word grace, your heart has to bubble to get excited about it. He said, I want to give you such a big view of grace that'll be your motivator. I really love the Lord. I truly love the Lord. Not for the things he has already, but because of grace. Because the more you understand it, the more you want to do what God had asked you to do. Not just feel like you have to do it because God had asked you. Because when you want to do something, you really want to do something in your heart, you are motivated to get it done. And now for the bottom line. He says, verse 9, not as a result of works, so that on one may boast. There will be nobody in heaven strutting around the barnyard like a rooster, claiming, hey God, me and you, we really did it. Strutting around on Diamond Boulevard and Gold Avenue, talking about we really did it. God will only do it by grace to remove all boasting. In other words, when you get to heaven, the only one who will get credit is the Lord, because he is the only one who paid the price for your salvation. He will get all the glory by grace. By grace, a grace is free. Your reward in heaven will be based on how much you appreciated the gift. So God had a whole new system of thinking, so that you now operate with a whole new sense of victory being dispensed by grace. And yes, you'll learn about responsibility. You'll learn about sin. You learn about victory, but now under the umbrella of grace. I'm talking about amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If you were in jail and I paid your bond, and then you came out of jail, met with your friends, and told them that, yeah, man, I got on good behavior. I washed all the commodes and toilets, and I washed the dishes, and everything they wanted me to do, man, I did it. I did everything he wanted me to do. I cleaned everything. You just insulted my bond payment to get you out. Because the only reason you got out is because I paid your bond. I paid your bail. Jesus has bailed you out of hell. And he picked up the whole tab. Grace is what's transformed us, grow in you your understanding of grace. Amazing grace. I told you how it sounds sweeter now. Because first of all, he saved the rats like me. Like us, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If you are here today and you are not sure, truly sure, where you will spend eternity, if you were to die today, we can solve the problem today. And guess what? We can solve the problem for free. It will cost you nothing. Jesus has paid it all. All to him we owe. Anyone like that today has not, you're not sure where you're going. It's free.